Welcome to Equipus Christchurch. Equipus Church is a whole lot of friends championing one another to go higher in Christ. For more details, check out our website at equipuschurch.com/Christchurch.
Amazing. How are we doing? We're good? Nice. If we have not yet met, my name is Jono, and I want to say a very warm welcome to Dream Sunday. Yeah, that is hopefully something you will get progressively more excited about. As long as you don't get less excited about it, then we're moving in the right direction. For those of you who maybe haven't been in the room for one of these before, or it's just simply been a while and you've forgotten, the reason that we have Dream Sundays, the reason that we have kind of these moments within our calendar on an annual basis, and often we have them a number of times throughout the year, is to kind of lift our eyes. I don't know about you, but it can be so easy in life, can't it, to kind of just get fixed on the next thing, the next little thing to get done or to pursue or to cross off the to-do list. Who loves a good to-do list in the room? Yeah, my people. Who else? You ever get something done that wasn't on the list, so you write it on the list so you can cross it off? Yeah, kindred heart, right? To-do lists are great, but we want to do more than just running from one thing to the next. And we actually believe that God has vision for us. And so Dream Sunday is kind of it's a moment of taking time to partner with God and wondering, what if? We could say it this way. It's a moment to lift our eyes to the horizon and say, God, what might you be doing that I can partner with you in? Because without vision, without looking for where God is doing something, we'll find plenty of things to keep ourselves busy. We'll go from one thing to the next, but we're in danger of wandering aimlessly. I want to say, Dream Sunday is not a silver bullet, right? Like, just because you're in the room, and I'm glad that you are in the room or streaming in or however you're joining us, does not mean that instantly we'll have vision and everything will be amazing. But what we are trying to do is put something in place that we would at least pause to consider, God, what are you doing and how can we be a part of it? Especially because I've found in my life at least that the person who God is helping me to become so often involves embracing restraint or doing things that sometimes are not always the easiest to do in pursuit of who God is calling me to be. And without moments of vision, when those opportunities come along to pursue Christ-like character, to die to ourselves, to join Jesus in doing what he did to hopefully become more like him, we'll just go, well, why would I want to do that, right? It sounds like hard work. But moments like this hopefully allow us to capture something of the dream that God has for us collectively and individually, that then when those moments come, we say, oh, I see the reason behind this. I can see the goal on the horizon that we're aiming for. And another thing to be clear in, and then we'll get into some Bible, is something we try and be really clear on about here at Equipus Church is that we don't have a vision that we try and get people towards. We did used to call what is essentially this Sunday, we used to call them Vision Sundays. But what we kind of set up was a bit of a, hey, come and hear what God's vision is for you and then you can go and do it, right? Now, we do believe that we have a corporate vision for who we are as a church. But what we don't want to end up accidentally in is this kind of place of one vision and a sort of, if I could just get them on board, if I could just get people to do what I want to do, whoever the I might be, right? Whether it's the person with the microphone or whether it's things that we have in our hearts, then God will move. Right? Hey, here's the one thing that we all have to sign up to, because God speaks to us all individually. What I'm saying is we don't want to use people to accomplish our vision. Instead, we want to be really, really clear. We believe that people are our vision, right? That the vision is people. We want to empower people to fulfill their God-given destiny, their God-given dream. So it's not just one dream that you have to get on board with. It's so much bigger than that. It's a God dream in every heart. And we trust God enough to be like, God, if you're speaking to all of us, then the collective expression of that is going to somehow fit together. Yeah, we don't need to quash or conform dreams and people, but we need to chase after what you're doing in us individually and corporately and believe that you're going to do something amazing in it. The other thing I want to add to kind of this puzzle picture, if you will, and then we'll turn to the Bible, is today is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is the day in the Christian calendar when we celebrate Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. We preached about that not on Palm Sunday because, you know, let's be a little bit different, but quite a bit last year. Jesus coming in, establishing, tabernacling with us, right? Establishing us as a people, as a house of prayer. And Palm Sunday we celebrate, and then a week later we celebrate Easter Sunday, right? Because one of the things that Palm Sunday is all about is the fact that Jesus is Lord. That Jesus is King. That there is an authority that Jesus has. If we want to follow him, that he says, hey, this is what I'm calling you to lay your life down and to follow after me. And so one of the things that Dream Sunday is so helpful for on this Palm Sunday is realizing, hey, we're all really good at dreaming. Any one of us, if we're given enough time, and now we're not as good at dreaming as we used to be because we have devices, right? So when you're bored, rather than daydreaming out the window and imaginary like people running along the hills, did anyone else do that on like car trips? And your people, anyway, it doesn't matter, right? Rather than that, we just pull out a device. But if, God forbid, the Wi-Fi was to go out and the 5G was to drop and you weren't able to get on TikTok or Instagram or Facebook or, you know, whatever your device or distraction of choice is for a moment, you'd start to daydream. Hey, wouldn't it be cool if? And those daydreams are not bad, but the God dreams for us, the dreams that God has if he is Lord and King, are not just for a nicer house and a faster car, right? But actually, they're bigger than that. They're dreams not just for us, but to bless those around us. They're dreams that bring something of heaven to earth. And so today, if it's in the kind of church calendar to celebrate that Jesus is Lord, I think one of the most practical ways we can do that is to step into a place of saying, God, do you have a dream for me? Is there something that you are doing that I can be a part of to bring something of heaven to earth? Is that all right? So that's what we're going to be going after today. And so I wonder, as we do, I hope it's my prayer that you're encouraged, but I wonder how you dream. I wonder what the dreams that God might have for you are. And so today we're declaring, if we're a free people, on the back of this series that we've been in for most of this year, we want to declare we're not just free to be free, we're free to dream. Yeah, so turn with me if you have your Bibles to a passage that's going to make no sense in the context of what we're talking about, but will with time, to 2 Kings chapter 7. We're going to read verses 1 to 9. This is the New Living Translation. It says this. Elisha replied, we're starting the story in the middle, by the way, because that's the best place to start, right? But we'll catch up. Elisha replied, listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord says. By this time tomorrow in the markets of Samaria, 6 quarts of choice flour will cost only 1 piece of silver, and 12 quarts of barley grain will cost only 1 piece of silver. The officer assisting the king said to the man of God, that couldn't happen, even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven. But Elisha replied, you will see it happen with your own eyes, but you won't be able to eat any of it. Now, there were 4 men with leprosy sitting at the entrance of the city gates. Why should we sit here waiting to die? They asked each other. We will starve if we stay here, but with the famine in the city, but we will starve if we go back there. So we might as well go out and surrender to the Armenian army. If they let us live, so much the better. But if they kill us, well, we would have died anyway. So at twilight, they set out for the camp of the Armenians. But when they came to the edge of the camp, no one was there. For the Lord had called the Armenian army to hear the clatter of speeding chariots and the galloping of horses and the sound of a great army approaching. The king of Israel has hired the Hittites and the Egyptians to attack us, they cried to one another. So they panicked and ran into the night, abandoning their tents, horses, donkeys, and everything else as they fled for their lives. When the men with leprosy arrived at the edge of the camp, they went into one tent after another, eating and drinking wine, and they carried off silver and gold and clothing and hid it. Finally, they said to each other, this is not right. This is a day of good news, and we aren't sharing it with anyone. If we wait until morning, some calamity will certainly fall upon us. Come on, let's go back and tell the people at the palace. Why don't you bow your heads with me and let's pray. God, I thank you for today. God, I thank you for the opportunity to dream. God, that dreams are free and we are free to dream. And so I pray today as we gather together under your word that it wouldn't just be good ideas, that it wouldn't just be helpful concepts, but that you would speak to our hearts. God, that today we would be encouraged, that today we would be called forward into the future that you might have for us, that we would leave different, more sure of the fact that we get to be a part of what you are doing here on earth. And more aware of the fact that we do not earn our way into that, but that you qualify us. God, I pray today that we would encounter your love in a real and a transformative way, that your voice would speak. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So you'd be forgiven for thinking, as I read that passage from 2 Kings chapter 7, what can that
possibly have to do with dreams, right? Like, that's a cool story. I don't really get it. You seem to have started in the middle. I'm assuming kind of by inference that maybe there's some sort of a famine going on. If the price of food is going to change and the lepers are starving, you would be right. You're a smart bunch, right? But what does it have to do with dreams? Well, I want to say here we've got a situation, right? Like I said, the nation is in famine, that the people are not free. They're living under the oppression of these circumstances that are completely outside of their control. And in the middle of this situation, God moves. God brings freedom to the people. He provides. He breaks through. And I think if we look at how this happens, we can see a bit of a model and a bit of an encouragement for us today about how we might dream with God about what God might be doing in our lives and the lives of those around us, yeah? And so today I want to tell this story in three parts. We'll put it up behind me on our extra big screen today. Do you guys like that? That's pretty big, yeah? We got a chain hoist because it's extra safe, but it means we can get bigger screen too. So three parts today if you're taking notes. A desperate situation, the courage to act, and a conviction to share. We start our story, like I said, in this desperate situation. Really, we started the story in the middle. But if we read in chapter 6, we would have seen that the Armenian army has besieged the city of Samaria, and as a result, the city has no food. It is a massive famine. Now, when I talk about it's a massive famine, I'm not overstating what's going on. Like, it gives some detail as to some of the things that are going on within the city. It says a donkey's head would cost 80 pieces of silver. Now, again, we've got no way of, like, we've got no comparison, right? Like, Jono, I haven't bought a donkey's head recently, I hope. Hope you haven't bought a donkey's head recently, right? If you have, I don't really want to know about it, but that's cool, right? But is 80 pieces of silver, is that like a good price for a donkey's head? I don't know what's going on here. Well, what's trying to be communicated is that a donkey is an unclean animal, right? And the head of the donkey is like the least beneficial part for eating. It's got the least amount of meat on it. And so an unclean animal, which is usually never thought to be eaten, is selling for an exorbitant price. Not just an unclean animal, but the worst part of the unclean animal is selling for a lot of money, is what this is communicating. And then it would go on and it says that a cup of dove dung is selling for 5 pieces of silver. I don't know if you've ever been kind of cooking recently and thought, do you know what this dish could do with? Just a sprinkle of dove dung would be amazing. Now, we don't actually know. It could mean literal dove dung, and that could be being sold for fuel. That could be being sold for food. Some scholars suggest actually dove dung is the name of like a vegetable that people would eat. But either way, whatever it is, be it actual dung for eating or for food or a vegetable, again, it's selling for a whole lot of money. I don't know if that's really a famine. Like, is it really? If you're still on your seat as to if it's too bad a situation, as we continue reading in chapter 6, we come across a horrible story of two ladies who are in the middle of an argument. Because they were so hungry, they agreed to eat each other's sons. Okay, it's a famine, right? Like, I'll give you that. Except they go through with it, and one of their sons is eaten, and then the lady whose son has not been eaten splits and runs. And so this lady who has lost her son comes to the king and she's like, you got to help me out. What am I going to do? And the king's like, I don't know what to do. They are in the middle of a desperate situation. And it's into this situation that Elisha says, by this time tomorrow, things are going to turn around. By this time tomorrow, you've been paying 80 pieces of silver for a donkey's head. You've been paying 5 pieces of silver for a cup of dove dung. By this time tomorrow, actual good food, flour and barley, will be the cost of 1 piece of silver. That's like saying, this time tomorrow, a house in New Zealand is going to cost $100,000. Right? Some of you are like, amen! Some of you are like, no, I would owe the bank a lot of money. That would be very bad for me, right? If that was going to happen, it needed to happen before I bought my house. Either way, whichever one you're praying for, I don't know who God's going to listen to. We'll have an intercession party afterwards. We'll have different rooms for different prayers about the property market, right? But either way, it's a big thing to claim. You have to stand up and say, hey, this is the sort of change that's going to come about. It's a crazy statement, which is why the officer assisting the king responds, that could never happen, even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven. Now, I want to point out, it's one thing to look at something and be practically like, that's not looking good. Like, it's not very likely. It's another thing to say, not even God could do anything here. Yeah, like that's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? If you think about the implications. Even if God opened the windows of heaven, this famine could not be broken. I wonder, what are you believing for this year? Maybe it's a breakthrough in health like we prayed. Maybe it's a friend or a family member coming to know Jesus. Maybe it's provision and finances or something. But I wonder, what desperate situation are you in that God's saying, hey, I want you to trust me in this situation. I want you to trust that maybe I'm doing something, that maybe I'm at work, because I found it's all too easy to accept things that God doesn't want us to accept. It's all too easy to be the officer assisting the king and be like, no, this is just the way it is. There is no hope in this situation. Could it be, are there any areas in your life in which you're telling God what he can and cannot do? Maybe there's a little dream that starts to kind of come to life in your heart as we start to talk about dreams, and you're like, no, not that one. Right? That could never happen. God, you can't do that. Maybe really what's happening here, if we're to be a little bit kinder to the officer assisting the king, is he's like, we cannot afford to get our hopes up. We cannot afford. How will people behave if they think tomorrow food's going to be available? We don't know this is going to happen. Maybe for you, when you have that little dream start to come alive again, you're like, no, I can't let that come alive, because what happens if it doesn't? Like, what happens if I hope and then my heart is broken? It's better to never hope anything happens than to hope and have my heart broken in disappointment. And so we end up saying statements like, even if the windows of heaven opened up, that could never happen. Or maybe for us it's something more like, oh no, that couldn't happen for me. I'm too young, or I'm too old, or I need more training, or I need more energy, or I need to be in a different stage of life, or have more resources, or I'm just the wrong person. Today I want to start by asking, do you have a desperate situation? Because I want to let you know, unfortunately, the world is full of them. Maybe today you're posted up with your little bit of bread and you're riding throughout the famine. You're doing okay. And I don't say that to make you feel guilty for doing okay. If you're here today and you're like, actually, I don't know if I've got like a big thing to trust God for. I'm not saying, oh, that's bad. But I am saying, if you are in a position of actually things are going all right for me, then that's amazing. That means you have more faculty, more resource, more availability to believe for your neighbor, to believe for someone else who is really going through it, to look out into the world and say, hey, I can see actually that things are not as they could be. Things are not as good. I'm not saying the world's horrible, but it could be better. And so maybe today your prayer to start is quite simply, God, help me to see the need in my world. God, I'm not in a desperate situation and I thank you for that. But help me to see those who are. Help me to see the hurting. Help me to see those who need hope. Help me to see those who need your love in the situation. I wonder what would happen if we would have the courage, the faith to look a situation head on, to acknowledge our need for God, and then to dream. Because in a desperate situation, we need to look at the desperate situation. But number two, we also need the courage to act. You know, I love these four lepers, right? They're the outcasts of society. If it's bad in the city, lepers are not allowed in the city because of their contagious disease. They have to live outside the city, outside the city gates. They cannot earn their own food. They're at the mercy of receiving charity from others. So if it's bad in the city, it's worse for them. And so they turn to one another and they say, why should we sit here waiting to die? Right? It would be better to die trying than to die waiting. Come on, I think for some of us that'll preach today. Right? It would be better to die trying than it would be to die waiting. Hold that thought in your mind. And so they go to the Armenian camp, and it's risky. The Armenians, they might just kill them, but they'll definitely die if they do nothing. And so they go to the camp, and they take a risk. Take a moment, turn to your neighbor, and just tell them it's risky to dream. Come on, turn to your neighbor again. You're not telling them something scary, right? You're not telling them off. You're not saying don't dream, but you can get a little bit louder this morning. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's risky to dream. I heard someone say it's very risky, right? Yeah, it's risky. Yeah, you could die if you go to the camp of the Armenians, but here's the thing. You'll definitely die if you stay where you are. That's the only guarantee. See, I think so often the cost of doing nothing is greater than risking it all. But we don't take risk. We don't dare to dream because it's familiar. We know the pangs of starvation. We know the pain of where we are. We are familiar with that pain. But to be courageous, I think we need to be honest. If it's a desperate situation, we find courage by looking at it for what it is. Not getting despondent about it. Not becoming the officer assisting the king and saying, God could never. But at the same time, not pretending it's all fine. Right? It's one thing to be that officer and be like, we're never going to get any food. It's another thing to be someone else in the city who's sitting there chewing on some pebbles, being like, nah, this is delicious. There's a place in the middle where we confront the reality of the world in which we're in, where we look at some of the things that we know are not of God, where we look at our mental health statistics, where we look at our wealth inequality, where we look at things and say, hey, things could be better. And have the courage to do something. Have the courage to, at the very least, pray, God, I know this is not how you want it to be, so I pray that you would do something to change it, and maybe you could involve me. And so they take a risk. They have the courage to act. They go into the enemy camp and it's empty. They walk into this miracle. God caused the enemies to run in a panic in the middle of the night. And so the king hears this and he's a bit nervous. He's like, well, maybe they haven't actually run away. Maybe they're just like, they've gone down the street a little bit and they're hiding around the corner. And when we come to the camp, they're going to come out and ambush us. And so he sends out some spies to come and have a look, and they go and check it out, and sure enough, it's not a trap, and they kind of follow the trail of the enemy all the way to the Jordan River. And we read this in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 16. It says, then the people of Samaria rushed out and plundered the Armenian camp. So it was true that 6 quarts of choice flour were sold that day for 1 piece of silver, and 12 quarts of barley grain were sold for 1 piece of silver, just as the Lord had promised. It's a great story, isn't it? There's a desperate situation. There's the courage to act. But the reason I wanted to share it today is because of what changes it from a story of just 4 lepers getting an amazing feed to the story of a nationwide miracle. So what I want to focus on for the rest of our time today, and I'm only going for a little bit longer, but it's this idea of a conviction to share. Right, there these 4 lepers are. They're in the camp of the Armenians, and they're living it up large. Right, it's like that scene, I don't know if you remember it, some of us in the room might be too young, but again, I like to give movie recommendations, in Home Alone. Does anyone remember the scene in Home Alone, the original one, where Kevin has not realized everyone is gone yet? He just thinks no one's paying attention or that they're going to be back soon. And so he sits down and he gets himself the biggest bowl of ice cream you've ever seen, right? And he turns on a movie that he knows he's not allowed to be watching, and he's sitting there and he's eating his ice cream and he's watching his movie. He's just having an amazing, does anyone remember that scene? It's just me that it's ingrained in, because growing up, I was like, just one time, I'd like mum and dad to go out without realizing they left me at home, and I'm going to eat all of the ice cream. It's going to be amazing, right? It wouldn't have been great. Growing up, I remember when I was studying, when I was old enough to be left at home, mum bought me some study snacks of like Cookie Time cookies, right? Now, everyone knows Cookie Time cookies, the only way you can make a Cookie Time cookie better is by putting it in the microwave for like 10 seconds, right? 15 seconds. Just getting the chocolate in it a little bit gooey. Anyone done that before? Again, right, equipping you for life through faith in Jesus Christ and little snack tips. But I was studying quite hard, and so I put it in the microwave, and I pressed what I thought was 15 seconds, and I went back to continue studying. And then I started to smell something. And I got up, and I walked into the kitchen, and there was black smoke billowing out of our microwave because I had actually set it for 15 minutes. And a Cookie Time cannot handle 15 minutes in the microwave. So I'm quite glad my parents never left me at home when I was younger, because I probably just would have burnt the house down, right, trying to cook instant noodles or something. But there they are, right? Like Kevin and Home Alone, they're having an amazing time. They've been starving for who knows how long. And all of a sudden, here they are in this camp with plenty of food. And so they're going from tent to tent. They're drinking the wine. They're eating the food. They're finding nice stuff. They're like, we'll take this away and we'll hide it for later. They're having an incredible time. But all of a sudden, there's this moment of conviction that hits them. Hey, this is amazing. But this isn't right. Like, this is a day of good news. God has done something incredible, and we're not sharing it with anyone. And so they go back and they tell everyone about what has happened. See, if we were to distill our vision, our dream as a church, down to one statement, it would be this. We have a conviction in every Equippers church across the nation and around the world that we want to put ministry in the hands of every believer. Right now, what do I mean by that, right? Well, if you call Equippers Church your home, our goal is to get you to a place that you are empowered to be a minister. And some of you are like, wait a second. Pretty sure that's your job. Feels like that thing where you're like sharing the job, but it's really your job. I have a job. You do your job, Jono. No, you are the minister, right? No, see, it says here, I'm not just the minister. Instead, we would say we are all called to be ministers. In fact, we take our name from the passage Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. I'll put it up on the screen behind me. This is where we get our name, Equippers. This is why we call ourselves Equippers Church. Because we believe that the church is called for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ. Now, the saints are not just some sort of like higher level Christian. There's no hierarchy within the kingdom, right? There's not a ladder that you climb that finally now you're a saint and you get to wear a special badge, right? I love a good badge as much as everyone else, but it's just not how it is, right? We are all the saints. We are made saints not by our own behavior or convincing God, but because of God's righteousness, we are made right. Because of who God is, because of what Jesus did on the cross, we are made right with God. And so in God's eyes, we are saints. We don't always behave like it, right? We're practicing Christians. We're not perfected Christians. Right? But we are the saints. And so the job of the church, and I would say my job as a minister, is to be a part of the equipping of the saints. Because we're not going to reach the world if it's just one person trying to be like, hey, don't worry, guys, I got Christchurch. I'll do it on my own, right? I believe in myself, but it's a tall order. Because it's not what God has made us for. See, it is for ministry in the hands of every believer. We are all called to be ministers. We are all called because we are all saints. Everyone partnering with God to pray kingdom come and to embody those prayers. You want everyone to be free in Christ. In fact, the question that we're asking this year is, what does a free you look like? What does it look like when everyone is empowered to dream a God dream? Because God's call for each and every one of us is different. God has something that we can be a part of, something that we can bring to pass. And some of us, we don't like calls, right? Like, I'm speaking specifically about phone calls. Some of us, we get that call. We all know what it feels like. It's great now. You see who's calling through, right? Some of you are like, now? There used to be phones that didn't have words on them. It was a crazy time. Right, but now you see it, and certain people will call, and you're like, or even worse, I don't let people go to voicemail, but unlisted numbers. I'm like, I don't know who that is, right? Like, I'm not messing with that today. They can leave a voicemail, and we'll see if it's a thing that I want to do today. And so we dodge the calls. But I wonder how many of us God's calling. We're like, it's not real convenient today. I think I'll pick that one up later. Or God, could you leave me a voicemail? And I'll come back round to it. I want to ask, what if God is saying something now? Maybe we could say it this way. What would it look like if every believer who called Equippers Church their church picked up the call of God and pursued the God dream? Right, that doesn't mean that we're like, okay, cool, I guess I just have to change the world all on my own. God dreams are not unattainable, right? They're bigger than we can handle on our own for sure, but with God, they're little step by little step. What I'm saying is your life matters. It counts. You are a decision point for other people. You might be the only Bible that some people ever come across. You can bring freedom and life. And the amazing way that the kingdom works is that when you do, you will find freedom and life for yourself. As the band joins me on stage, I want to finish by saying this. It is our desire that everyone say everyone. It wasn't everyone. Everyone say everyone. There we go. Everyone would see themselves as a minister. Would realize, hey, there's something that I am called to. And so the question that I want you to ask yourself today is, what freedom do I need to see myself as a minister? What freedom do you need to see yourself as anointed for the mission of God? What freedom do you need to see yourself as a saint called to ministry? And so today, what we want to do to finish, to practically help to put ministry into your hands, if that's who we believe that we are, it's in our invitation to live free. We want to also invite you to reach three. See what I did there? That was tricky. Live free. F-R-E-E. Put it up on the screen. There you go. Words help. Reach three. See, what I want to say is you are connected to different people than I am connected to. right? There are people who you're going to come across that God's going to use you to impact their world that I'm never going to meet. And I'm praying this year that every week we would wake up with a challenge to say, hey, I can have an impact. I can make a difference. It doesn't need to be massive today, but if I make a little bit of an impact almost every day, then the difference that I make will end up being bigger than I could ever imagine. And so the invitation today is quite simple. What would it look like to encourage three people? As simple as that. The invitation is every Monday, because Monday comes after Sunday, so we might as well do it while it's fresh in our mind. What would it look like to encourage three people? In fact, we're going to put up a QR code on the screen behind me. And you don't have to scan this, but if we can practically help you, what's going to happen when you scan that is it's going to come up with a little form to fill out of three people who you're believing that God is wanting to encourage this year. Right? Three people who are maybe close from you but far from God. Maybe three people who are close to you and close to God but just are going through something and something you're believing for. Right? It could be big. It could be breakthrough. It could be just immediate. God, I just need peace for tomorrow. And then it's going to invite you to schedule a calendar appointment Monday morning, 7 a.m. Just to remind you, hey, today you could. You don't have to. God's still going to love you. But today you could encourage three people. It doesn't have to be sharing the gospel with them, right? It doesn't have to be, hey, I've got this prophetic word for you. If it is either of those things, beautiful. But it could just be as simple as, hey, I was just thinking of you today. I hope you have a really good week. Let me know if I can do anything. Or maybe, hey, just thinking of you, got any time this week to catch up for a coffee? Just a little moment of intentionally coming alongside someone else to encourage them, to speak life, to speak hope. Because free people. And sometimes that looks big. Sometimes that looks like deliverance and kind of moments that are big, but sometimes it just looks like the little, small, consistent encouragements. The, hey, I see you, I value you. And maybe if you've got the relationship, hey, did you know God? God sees you, God values you. You know, earlier today we talked about a desperate situation, right? And maybe you're one of those people here and you're like, I don't know, nothing desperate comes to mind. And I say, I know at least one thing that everyone is desperate for. Encouragement. I don't believe anyone can be over-encouraged, encouraged too much. In fact, maybe the person who's coming to mind for you right now, you're like, well, maybe they can. Maybe that's the very person who needs encouragement the most. That they look like they've got it, but it's a desperate facade they're putting out to the world to hide the fact that they need it desperately. The world needs encouragement right now. And what if we as free people walking in the freedom that we believe God has for us just simply stepped up and said, hey, I can reach three people. What if it was as simple as that to realize you're a minister? That it doesn't have to start big. It can start by just agreeing with what Jesus says about someone. Hey, I see you. I think you're amazing. I think that God loves you. I know. I hope you have a great week. I wonder how I can help you this week. What if three people simply reached three people? I said, I'm done, but I want to finish today with a story. Maybe if you stand to your feet, it'll make sure that the story's not too long. It's a story found in the book of Ezra. And in the book of Ezra, after 70 years of slavery in a foreign land, Israel is finally released to go back to Jerusalem. And they get back to the city, and the city has been ransacked, right? It's just ashes and it's rubble. And so they begin to rebuild. And the first thing they start to rebuild is the temple. And so they start by just pouring the foundation for the temple. And as soon as they have the entire nation, the people who are there at least, gather together on this bare foundation. There's no pews, there's no walls, there's no inner room. The temple is not there. It's nothing but a concrete slab, essentially. This massive crowd gathers on it, and in the middle of the city that they hardly recognize, they start to worship. And what comes out of them is the worship of a people who have been unable to worship for far too long. The worship of a people who have waited 7 decades to come to this place with these people to worship their God. And this is how Ezra describes their worship in Ezra chapter 3, verse 11 to 13. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. but many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. No one could distinguish the sounds of shouts of joy from the sounds of weeping, because the people made so much noise, and the sound was heard far away. See, what's going on here? Well, shouts of joy, that's obvious, right? They've waited so long for this day, but weeping, why are they crying? Well, the consensus among scholars is that they're weeping over who is missing. They're weeping, remembering their friends and their family who should be there, who should be enjoying this moment, but didn't live long enough to see it or didn't want it badly enough to make the journey back to be there for this moment. And there is so much to celebrate, but the celebration is incomplete without his voice or without her voice. And I say this to say, we gather together to worship every week, and there is a sound of joy that erupts from this place. There is a celebration, but do we also weep over who is missing? Do we weep over the co-worker who we've never invited? Do we weep for the neighbor who we've said no for without even asking? Do we weep for the friend or the family member that we've prayed for a couple of times before giving up? Do we weep for that person who would have been interested, surely, if they were going to be interested by now? And so, as we worship today, who's missing? And who could we start seeing by simply starting with encouragement? By simply saying, God, who can you show me this week on a Monday morning that I can encourage because you see them? Church, I'm done. Maybe just as you bow your heads, as you close your eyes. To finish today, there's an invitation to share the freedom that we've found. Right? Jesus came to overcome the sin that would stand in the way between us and God. He came to die the death of sin for us, something we're going to celebrate this time next week. But this time next week, we're not just celebrating that he died. We're celebrating that he did not stay dead, that he rose from the grave on the third day to offer life, to bring freedom to anyone who would trust in him. And so in this moment, his head's bowed, his eyes are closed, it's just you and God. Maybe you've heard me talking about this God who has a dream for you. A dream not just to make your life easier, but to make your life better. A God in whom a life is found that is not just about your own comfort and convenience, but in an expansive way of blessing others. A God in whom real life is found. Friend, today I want to say you don't need to earn his love. He already loves you. And so today there is simply an opportunity, if you haven't chosen before, or maybe you have, but somewhere along the way you feel like that's not the decision you're holding right now, to choose to follow Jesus again. To choose him this Palm Sunday as your Lord and Savior. So his head's about, his eyes are closed. If that's you here today and you'd say, Jono, today I feel like I need to choose Jesus again. To partner with him, not just in my life, but in the dream that he has for my life and the lives of those around me. That's you, his head's about, his eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. In 3, 2, 1. Friend, if that's you, would you raise your hand up nice and high and just let me know? I'd love to pray with you. I see the hand. Thank you. Others here today, if that's you, would you raise your hand up nice and high? I'd love to pray with you. Online, if that's you, we'd love to pray with you. Well, there's no pressure today, but we don't want to miss this opportunity. One more time, if that's you, would you raise your hand up nice and high? Awesome. Church, would you repeat these words after me? God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I'm far from you. But today, I believe in Jesus, that he came, that he died, that he rose from the dead, and that he brings me to you. God, today, I choose to follow you. I give you my life. Would you fill me with your spirit? Would you give me your power to help me to be the person that you've made me to be? In Jesus' name, amen. Church, like I said today, there's an invitation. An invitation to look to the horizon, to dare to dream a little bit. Because it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Because free people. Because we believe that it is God's will for us that ministry would be in the hands of every believer. That we would be a people with a conviction to share. And so the invitation today is as practical and as simple as we can make it, because if it's not actionable, then it's not worth giving. The invitation today is, what if you made a decision to reach three people? Just an encouragement. What might happen? How might God use you as you bring your availability? What might the dream be this time next year as God takes the little we have and does much with it? One last time, would you bow your heads with me? We're going to pray and then we're going to sing a song of praise. God, I thank you for today. God, I thank you as your word has gone out, that it has landed in our hearts. And I pray that it would bear much fruit. That today we're not trying to will our way into accomplishing things for you. We are trying to partner with what you are doing. And so God, would you empower us to do it? Would we be filled with your joy? Would we be filled with your power as we partner with you in your mission? We pray this all in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. Check out our website at equipuschurch.com/Christchurch.